Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
The Lord Jesus foretold that because of the things that will be transpiring on the earth just before his return, that the love of many would wax cold. Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to pick up, let's try about verse 8 here. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know, these last days are going to try the foundation of every single person. In fact, we're seeing that literally by the day, more and more people who are waxing cold toward God, and therefore they're waxing cold toward the people of God and the things of God. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." But that love that's horizontal to others originates and must be sustained in our love for God. Notice 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot," that's God, "loveth him also that is begotten of him." So the litmus tests are the fruit of our love for God is always going to be seen in our love for his people. "Everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him." In other words, if you've been brought into the family of God through Christ, and you're abiding in Christ, you're going to be loving the body of Christ. There's no such thing as a true disciple of Jesus who doesn't love the body of Christ. Notice here in 1 John 4:7, backing up one chapter in 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Again, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So if we're not walking in love, it's clear that we don't know and we are not walking with the one who is love. Notice God is love is the way verse 8 there here in 1 John 4:7-8 speak of or declare. And notice 1 Peter 4. We're talking about the love of God here, friends, and it's only as we were made one with him who is love that his love is going to teem in us and flow out of us, our cup running over upon others. Notice 1 Peter. By the way, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13 in a minute. Remember that without love, we're nothing. Amen? This must be a very high priority concern to the believer. Jesus warned that in the last days, because of the things that are now transpiring on the earth, the love of many is going to wax cold. This should be of great concern to every single, and it will be to every true disciple. If loving God and loving others is not concerning to you, it's time for you to repent, because you're not right with God, period. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the first and most important two commandments, loving God and loving others. 1 Peter 4:7-8, "But the end of all things things is at hand. Notice again, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is talking now through Peter. Jesus is saying these things about the love of God and loving one another and the love of many waxing cold. And then we see that the Apostle John in 1 John 4:7-8 is speaking about loving the body of Christ. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Here's a third witness, 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Amen. Anybody that doesn't have a prayer life, or better yet, a life of prayer, is not walking with Christ. There's no way to sustain a relationship with Christ when you're neglecting and refusing to fellowship with him and his body. Amen. Prayer is simply communicating with God. That's probably the most basic definition of it. And if you're not talking to God, it's because you simply don't love God. You don't have time for him because he's not your desire. You're not delighting in God. The good news is that if you're listening to this message, you can stop your life right now and repent and tell the Lord your sins that he already knows. Confess them for what they are. Amen. Verse 8, 1 Peter 4, now he's talking about the end of all things. Verse 7, the end of all things. That's the context, again, as it was in Matthew 24. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So believers are to have fervent charity among yourselves, and charity is going to cover the multitude of sins. Then he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Oh, how sweet it is to have a friend or two that really cares for you and loves you, and that you can love with a trust factor, if you will. A lot of people in the world today simply have relationships based on what they can get out of them instead of just loving people because God so loved us while we were yet sinners, and just loving people, walking in God's love. And by the way, that manifests in hospitality. Verse 9, 1 Peter 4, use hospitality one to another without grudging. See, that's outworking of the love of God. A part of it is being hospitable to other people. Notice Jude speaking about the love of God, beginning in verse 20. It's only one chapter. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Every born-again believer who is baptized with the Holy Ghost knows exactly what that's talking about. That's how we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Notice it's not guaranteed. It's actually put forth here clearly as an instruction and a command for you and I to keep ourselves in the love of God. Whatever you got to do, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Makes it a bit easier, if you will, keep ourselves in the love of God when we are depending ourselves upon the mercy of God. Amen. We all need it. We're not sufficient or righteous in and of ourselves. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3, verse 5 through 7. And you know, the only way to walk in the love of God is to be crucified with Christ. Again, the power generator of the Christian life is that daily cross that Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you must take up. And then it's the resurrection power of Christ, the grace of Christ, raising you up out of that dead and buried posture, that's going to bring forth all of the blessings of God. Notice Jesus himself thought himself, or made himself, if you will, of no reputation, but he came and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So the resurrection can only come, as it did with Jesus, after the death and burial. And notice in verse 3 here in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. In other words, glory brought to ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So today we are given the instruction by God to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. We already love love ourselves. God wants us to do as Jesus did, get out of our own world and into the life of others, to concern ourselves with the, in particular, the body of Christ. God is most interested in us loving his body. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says that we're to put special care into the body of Christ. As we have therefore opportunity, we do have ample opportunity every day to pray for other members of the body of Christ, to pray for the body of Christ as a whole, and to spend our times lifting the burdens of fellowshipping with and being hospitable to the body, the members of the body of Christ. I want to say this, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 speak much about the body of Christ. That's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Notice Galatians 6, 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Remember, I quoted earlier John 13, 35, where after Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, he warned that Judas, there would be one among them that would betray him, and then he gave this command, by this shall all men know. Let me start in verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. In fact, the term love one another appears, I believe it's 12 times in the New Testament. Love one another. It's actually 13 times. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, notice the love of God and loving one another contrasted with the perilous times Paul prophetically spoke of. And what did he say about these epidemic of evil that we're now seeing upon us, as was foretold by Christ and his apostles and prophets, for this last hour as we look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming soon? Amen. In fact, Jesus said, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke chapter 21, verse 28, we can rejoice knowing that these things all point to the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's contrast what's going on in the last days with what Christ instructed us to do in loving one another and being aware of the possibility and the danger of our love toward God and others waxing cold. Matthew 24, as we read earlier, notice 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, this know also, Paul writes, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For mention, notice the first thing it says concerning perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow, that's the pride of Satan, if you will, worshiping the God of self instead of the God who made all that is, the only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, who also give us the Holy Spirit, which sheds abroad, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And in contrast, you see that men are going to be lovers of their own selves, and some of them once knew the Lord. In fact, that's verse 2, 2 Timothy 3. Verse 5, we're warned that they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such withdraw thyself. So this isn't just necessarily the rank heathen. These are some who once knew God, and now their love for God and therefore others has waxed cold. So it begins with them being lovers of their own selves, and it ends with being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Their lives are preoccupied with and consumed with getting more trinkets and more pleasures in this fleeting world for themselves, and playing games and everything under the sun that has no eternal value. You see, that's the characteristics and the occupation of those who are rejecting Christ. They're not denying self and taking up the cross and following Christ. They're denying Christ and serving the God of self. The life of self is death, as someone put it, and the death of self is life. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to have to be on his prescription, or you have a mere form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. And God says for the true believers to turn away from such a person. That's verse 5 here in 2 Timothy 3. See, you have a mere form of God, formula, something other than the Word of God. And that's why you're denying Christ. You're denying the power, the authority of Christ to reign in your life. life, and that's why you don't have the love of God in your life, if that's the case. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 19:27. Jesus actually defines who his enemies are. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Slay them before me. Who is going to be slain down into hell? It's going to be those who would not allow in their earthly life, they're not allowing Christ to reign supreme. They're doing things their own way. The Bible told us in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And self is going to be the primary false god that you deal with. You're either going to crucify self or self is going to crucify Christ right out of your life. See, this is synonymous with those who have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power, the reign of Christ in their lives. They're doing, as the song says, they're doing it their way. I did it my way, which is a national anthem for those who are on the wide path that leads to eternal destruction. They're doing it their own way. They're doing it some other way other than the way Jesus commanded us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's the only way to follow him, yet there's not hardly a pastor in America that's preaching that. Where are you going to hear the message of the cross in any of these local churches? I gave up on them and gladly departed from them a while back. I'm done with it. In most cases, maybe not all. I know some of you listening might have a good fellowship, but that's very, very rare. And this was all foretold. They're making merchandise of people, as Peter said they would be doing in the last days. It's about nickels, noses, and numbers. It's not about God. Peter warned that there would be those doing just such a thing. In 2 Peter chapter 2, notice what he says here. 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be, not might be, there shall be false teachers among you. So far he identifies false prophets and false teachers who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They're going to bring in damnable heresies, something other than the original gospel. They're going to preach another gospel, which is going to lead to the damnation of those who don't hold to the doctrines of Christ and his apostles, and therefore are seduced by these false teachers and false prophets who bring in things. You know, they never, in these local churches, you hardly ever hear them laying the foundation of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. And, you know, the things like the cross of Christ. They want to ex Christ right out of his own gospel. These are anti-Christ. They're going to preoccupy you with all kinds of things that entice you. These messages they give and themselves, they're not standing there and telling you that Jesus said you must lay down your life in this world and follow him. You must be crucified with him or you're not actually following him. Why? Because that would cut away a lot of the people and those people represent money to them. Notice verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, there it is, there's the nickels, noses, and numbers, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, that fictitious words, a false gospel, make merchandise of you. They're there for the money, they're not there to watch for your soul and to give you the truth whether you like it or not. They're there to tickle your ears, just as the people are rebellious now as they've always been. Isaiah 30 verse 9 and 10, the people were crying out to their leaders to give us smooth things. Don't preach the truth to us. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to change. We don't want repentance. We don't want the cross. We want smooth things. We want the crown, but we don't want the cross. We want the Cadillac, but don't talk about the cross. So through covetousness shall they with feigned words. See, it's through their own belly, if you will, their own carnal appetites, which aren't crucified, that these leaders, who are full of covetousness, are going to use something other than, they're going to preach something other than the original gospel of Christ and his apostles. That's what feigned words could be seen as here. And by doing so, they're going to make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They're going to hell. Their judgment is not going to linger forever. Their damnation, notice their damnation, every false teacher is going to be damned into hell, which will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. Let's finish with 1 Corinthians 13. You know, saints, I want to say that I love to read this chapter on a regular basis in the mornings when I get up in the morning and study and pray. I love to read this chapter to be reminded and refreshed with what's most important to God is, first of all, our relationship with Him. And second is going to be loving, walking in His love. Amen. Again, remember we started off in Matthew 24, I believe it's verse 12, where Jesus is warning of the love of many in light of all the evil things that are coming upon the earth all around us. The love of many is going to wax cold. You must guard your heart with all diligence, or keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You must examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. If you're not walking in love, you're not in the saving faith of Christ. Faith worketh by love. Everything boils down to who you love most. Do you love God the most? If you do, you're willing to, and you're denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. You're letting Jesus reign in your life. You're crying out to God, like John the Baptist did, that, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30. You're declaring what Paul, Colossians 3:3. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. And oh, how sweet it is when the resurrection life of Christ begins raising us up, and then we see what God had in mind for the Christian life, or the life of any of His true believers. Remember, Paul said that the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, but if the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Ghost, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means to make alive, raise up your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. There's nothing like walking in the resurrection life and love of Christ, and that only happens. There can't be a resurrection till there's what? First, a death and burial. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, I want to encourage you to read this chapter every morning this week as one of your chapters that you're reading in the morning as you're putting God first, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And remember, charity is the love of God manifesting in our lives in good works and hospitality toward others. It's not just this phantom so-called love that we might have in our hearts. If you have the love of God, you're going to be moved with compassion, as was Christ, to be a blessing in the lives of others. And you're going to prefer them above, not even on the same level, but above yourself. Amen. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So of the gifts of the Spirit, there is speaking in tongues. There's also tongues and interpretation. And obviously there's the tongue of angels, but they are nothing compared to walking in the love of God. He says here, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, just a bunch of noise if I don't have the love of God. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, that's a gift of the Spirit that God instituted. This is 1 Corinthians 13. You remember that 1 Corinthians 12, He institutes the gifts. He names them, verse 7 through 10. And in chapter 14, the Lord tells us how to use these gifts. He gives us the protocol on using, walking in and using the gifts of the Spirit to be a blessing to God and others, not ourselves. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 13, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I know the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation perfectly, and though I have all faith, and even have faith, all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. You see, charity, the love of God, is the first fruit of the Spirit, and that can only come out of a relationship with the Lord on His stated terms. That's how we know who's of God and who's not of God. And the first one we should be examining and constantly is ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's Galatians 5:22 and 23. Notice the next verse. And they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So what does this tell us? There's the cross right there. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They're walking the crucified life, and born in them through this life with Christ, this oneness with Him, John 17, and the Father, is going to be the fruit of the Spirit. The first of which is named is love. Some say that that's the only fruit of the Spirit, and the other eight of the nine are coming as a result of the love of God. They're just dimensions of the love of God. I'm not going to argue either way. The first thing listed here, though, of the fruit of the Spirit, the proof that you have God in your life, that He has you, is that you have love. You also have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you want to see if you're of God, test yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Do you have the love of God in you? Do you have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness? If not, verse 24, you must repent and be crucified with Christ, because everything else is superficial if you don't have love for God and love for one another. All you have is religion, churchianity, and a cheap substitute. You have a mere form of godliness, an outward formula. And we know what Jesus said repeatedly to the Pharisees concerning cleaning the outside of the cup, but inwardly being full of dead men's bones. Matthew 23, God looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. So even if we can remove mountains by having mighty faith in Christ's kingdom and just period, we have nothing if we don't have the love of God, because God is love, and the proof that you know Him who is love is that His love is in and working through you to others, namely the body of Christ. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can give everything away, including your own life, and still die and go to hell if you don't have the love of God in you. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. That means to compel us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Jesus, a sister scripture to that, Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. When you have the love, the charity, the compassion of God in your heart, spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost through the crucified life and that oneness with the Lord, you're going to be moved horizontally, when you have the vertical, if you will, when you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when you're walking with the Lord, pleasing Him and not yourself, you're going to be full of His love, and it's going to work out through you. Verse 4, charity. Here's the characteristics of love. Charity does what? Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It does not lift itself up. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly or indecently, seeketh not her own. Amen. God's love is in us. We're going to be seeking the best of others, not ourselves. The Bible says, let no man seek his own, right? Know that verse? Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. I believe that's 10:24. Yes, 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So, verse 5, charity does not behave itself unseemly or indecently, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, evil. And then verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. When we're walking in the love of God, we're not going to sit there and laugh when somebody says something evil. We're not going to rejoice in iniquity. We're going to rejoice in the truth. You can't separate the love of God and the truth of God. We are to speak the truth in love. But notice, we are to speak the truth. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Verse 7, beareth charity what? Beareth all things, believeth all things. That means believes everything to the best until proven guilty. That's not a license to be gullible, but we believe the best until proven guilty. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Amen. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. See, the fruit of the Spirit that comes only by a relationship with Christ of charity or love is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Charity never fails. A charity is eternal. Love is eternal, but the gifts of the Spirit are only for the temporary purpose of God for His body while we're here on the earth. But in eternity, there will be no gifts of the Spirit, because as He's going to say here in a minute, all will be known. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. Verse 8, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. It's going to be an end to the gifts of the Spirit. Whether there be tongues and other gifts of the Spirit, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge in eternity, what? It shall vanish away. I think he's talking about the word of knowledge, another gift of the Spirit. Verse 13, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that's heaven, that's when we're with him, not before, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So when we're with the Lord, we're not going to need some of the equipment he gave us for the earth. This doesn't diminish the importance of these things on the earth, but most importantly is the love of God. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is only for a temporary use while we're on the earth is going to be done away with, because we're going to be actually with the Lord and everything's going to be known. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So putting away childish things, one writer writes this, three things that a man puts away as he matures. Number one, speaking like a child. Number two, understanding like a child. Number three, thinking like a child. And the Greek word for put away, katergio, is the Greek word and means the things that cease are to be superseded by a more complete life along the same lines, in the same way that adulthood is so far advanced beyond childhood as to be on another plane entirely. There will be no need of prophecies when we shall know as we are known, as we're going to read here in the next verse. There will be no need of the gift of tongues when we shall know all languages of the universe. There will be no need of stumbling around the ignorance with our partial knowledge when we shall have super knowledge and complete perfect insight into eternal things, unquote. So that's a pretty good commentary on verse 11, which says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, or mirror glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now and thank you that you bought us with your blood so that we could know, be forgiven of our sins and know and be known of you and the Father. Lord, we ask right now for a oneness with you and the Father that we have never experienced. Lord, let the inner penetration increase, Father. Make us one with you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you for it, Lord. We ask you for the anointing of your Spirit to be dead and buried with Christ, to be crucified with Christ, and therefore raised up and used for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.